As a people of God this morning, let us unite around His Word and hear from Him. Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 21 through verse 26. Last Sunday we looked at verses 21 and 22. This morning we'll look at verses 23 through 26 of Matthew chapter 5. We continue in our series of looking at relationships, forgiveness, and discipline. And this morning we're looking at if your brother has something against you, go and tell him and talk to him. Let's begin reading at verse 21 of Matthew chapter 5. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, "Do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, 'Raca,' is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, 'You fool,' will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny." There ends a reading of God's holy word. Last week you heard it rather directly and bluntly. You're not to murder. The first part of this passage says, do not commit murder. But it not only deals with the act of murder, it deals with the attitude behind murder. That the same root cause is there, a murderous spirit, contemptible anger that is there. And Jesus says it's not enough to avoid and not do the act. We must avoid as well the attitude of contemptible anger towards others. It is that which assassinates and kills people without weapons. It's that that defaces our brother, that destroys and puts down. It's that that derides our neighbor, that does him in. And Jesus says that is not to be. You must deal with that spirit of anger that is within. But then he begins to transition to verse 23, and it seems like Jesus is on a different topic. It seems like Jesus has not transitioned to it all that well, that he's gotten off the topic, that he's a preacher who doesn't stay on the text and stay on the subject. Has Jesus really gotten off the topic when we come to verses 23 and 24? Yes, he speaks now of someone who is going to give their gift at the altar in an act of worship. But then that person remembers something that someone else has against them. They leave their gift, go and be reconciled to their brother, and then come back and offer the gift. To make sense, it seems in the context that Jesus would first deal with our anger and say we should not have that murderous, contemptible spirit as well. And then he would say, don't hate or be angry with your brother. If you have something against him, you go and tell him. But in this text, instead, he says, if your brother has something against you, then you should go to talk to him. It just doesn't make sense on first reading. It seems if it doesn't fit together. But you'll notice that little word therefore in verse 23. As he begins the second set of verses, he draws a positive conclusion from verses 21 and 22 about anger. He draws a positive conclusion. And I think what our Lord is doing fits together all too well. Jesus strengthens the caution against our murderous anger. He strengthens it not by saying you should not have it towards someone else, but you must be careful that someone else doesn't have it towards you. He highlights how bad it is, even in the lives of others, that wrong anger and deriding breeds the spirit of murder, and therefore you must guard against it at all costs. In fact, to the extent that if your brother has it, you must go to your brother and have worked through it with your brother so that his animosity might be lessened and you might be reconciled. That if you have stirred up, you've been the occasion to stir up that murderous spirit in others, out of love for your neighbor, you should go to your neighbor and be reconciled. And out of love for God, you should love your neighbor. And that the sin of murder is so broadly and deeply conceived that we must protect against it in our lives and in the lives of others as well. I think it all fits together all too well. That the message of Jesus comes with power to us. That we must aim to be reconciled with our brother, even if it is him who has the fault against us or the thing that he's holding against us. And our Lord begins to illustrate that. And he uses two illustrations. The first of those illustrations is given in verses 23 and 24. And the second is given in verses 25 and 26. As we've highlighted before, the first of them is the scene of worship and offering. But there, as the person is there in the scene of worshiping, offering up their praise and offering to God, he remembers that there is a brother who has something against him. And that person is to leave that beside. It is to take priority even upon worship. And that person is to go to that brother and try to be reconciled with that person. Yes, the one who is angry, the one who has the grievance against the brother is responsible. That is true. They're responsible, but even the person who may not have the anger is responsible to see how urgent it is to be reconciled to the brother, that it even takes priority over worship. Can you imagine on a Sunday morning if all of a sudden some of you rose up and walked out of worship because you had to get something right with a brother? It would make a statement. It would have a profound impact on us as we saw the necessity to do that. And someone taking that action. Our Lord highlights it so that we might not minimize its importance, but we must see how important it is to be properly related to our brother. The Bible throughout has this idea. Sometimes we tend to divorce our relationship with others from our relationship with God. Sometimes we act as if we can be on the outs with someone else. We can have grievance with someone else, but that's all right. It doesn't affect our relationship with God at all. But as you range through the Scripture, you see the need for reconciliation with our brother and sister in Christ. Think about 1 Peter 3. There is a husband and wife situation. The husband might not even be a Christian, or in the second case, in 3:7, is a Christian. Peter tells us these words, "Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as a weaker partner and heirs together with you as a gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers." Here Peter, as a writer under the inspiration of the Spirit, says that it's important that a husband lives with his wife in an understanding way. For if he does not, what will happen, it will affect his relationship with God and his prayers will get no farther than the ceiling. If he doesn't live with understanding and love for his wife in the right way, if he's at odds with his wife and doesn't understand her in the proper way, prayer just bounces right back off the ceiling and doesn't get through. Yet, we take it lightly. We take the need to be reconciled lightly. We make excuses why we're not reconciled. We say, well, I'm not very big on conflict and I hate to deal with it there. Or we say, if he has a problem, let him come to me. It's his problem and not my problem. Well, he does not have a legitimate grievance, therefore I don't need to go to the one who's there. It's him who has the fault and the grievances. Why do I have to go? And after all, I have done nothing wrong there. And sometimes we feel like we don't have to take the first step in reconciliation. But God says here, if you remember that your brother has something against you, you make the first step as far as reconciliation. Now, that doesn't mean he doesn't have a responsibility to come to you. He does. But our Lord wants to see us to see the greatness and the importance of it, that we are to prioritize our relationships with one another, that our relationships with one another do not occur in a vacuum, that they are related to our relationship of honoring and pleasing the Lord. And so we must take the first step and go to our brother. We're told in the book of Hebrews in chapter 12 and verse 14, make every effort to live at peace with all men. That our Lord tells us and instructs us there that we must be diligent at trying to live at peace with all men. That we are to make those efforts that are necessary to give the diligent effort that is there needed to reconcile ourselves with others. Now there are situations where we can't. That verse in Hebrews 12:14 realizes that. It says, as far as depends on you, live at peace with all men. That there are situations where we have done what we can and we are still not reconciled to the person. We've come to them and we've tried to understand the person's point of view. We've tried to put ourselves, in a sense, in their shoes. We've tried to clear up misunderstandings with them and miscommunications. If we have done wrong, we have confessed it to them and we have requested their forgiveness. Will you forgive me for the way I got angry and the words I spoke to you? Will you forgive me for that? Please forgive me. And you've done that where necessary. And yet you're not at peace. You've done your duty. You can't admit something that is not true. And now don't use that as an excuse, but you cannot admit that you've done something wrong when you have not. And there are certain people who do not want reconciliation. You've made that attempt to reconcile with that person, and the problem is upon their head. They just don't want to be reconciled. You are not the Holy Spirit. You cannot change that person's heart. And some people you will not be reconciled, maybe in this life. Some people are overly sensitive. They tend to take everything in a wrong way. They tend to be offended by all sorts of things. And that eventually needs to be confronted if that's the situation, that someone's overly sensitive, because that often stems from pride and stems from a bitter spirit there. So there are times when we cannot be reconciled, but most of the time we can. Sometimes people will tell us when we have sinned against them or offense has been committed, and then you can go and talk to them. Sometimes you know you've done the wrong. You know it. It's there. It's out there. You know that you've done something wrong against your neighbor. But other times you have to unearth it a little bit. Not that that person isn't responsible if they have a grievance, according to Matthew 18, to come to you. But sometimes you'll notice attitudes in people's lives. Sometimes there always seems to be a barb or a twist, a sharp edge in conversation, and they're hiding maybe offense that you have committed against them or what they think you've committed. Or sometimes you notice how they develop into camps in the church, and there's we and they, and you have done this, and we have been offended there, and there becomes these camps within the church because there's offense there that underlies it that needs to be dealt with. Or you notice that the person begins to avoid you. They don't speak to you. They don't look at you. Or they begin to sabotage the things that you do because there is bitterness there. Or they're overly sensitive. Everything that you say tends to be taken in a wrong fashion. Often what is at the root of the problem is there some way that they think that you've offended them. And so you need to go. You need to go to talk to them with humility. And you go to them and you talk with them. And sometimes you'll find they say, there's no offense here, but thank you for coming. I appreciate it. I appreciate that you would take the time and energy to do that. And when people do that and there's no offense, you become strengthened in your relationship and cemented together in the Lord along the way. And if there is offense, there's the opportunity to be reconciled, where hostility and separation become replaced with freedom and friendship and peace and this reestablishment of the relationship. And so Jesus says to us very bluntly and directly, pacify others' anger towards you as much as it depends on you. But Lord, you don't know it. You just don't know it. You just don't understand it. Lord, it's their problem. And sometimes it is their problem. Sometimes it's attitudes in them that need to be dealt with. But our Lord doesn't let us off the hook easily. Notice in verses 25 and 26, He presses home the urgency of being reconciled. And He presses it home in verse 25 and 26 with the second illustration. Settle things quickly, or matters quickly, with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. Now here comes our Lord and a second positive implication of the principle, do not murder or have a murderous spirit. And here he envisions a setting where two fellows are walking along on the way to court. Your adversary is taking you to court to bring you to perhaps justice along the way. And he says to us, make sure you settle with him on the way, because you don't know the full consequences, what will happen if you're brought before the judge. The consequences might be severe. You might go to pay the last penny there. And so while you are on the way, quickly settle this with one another before the judge gets involved. Settle it, because it will be harder to do it later. Count the cost if you remain unreconciled, because the consequences could be heavy. Now you have to be careful in pressing the illustration of Jesus too far. You could have the idea that God will take our salvation away if we don't get reconciled with our brother there. It's not that idea that God will take our salvation away. Salvation is a gift of God, and it is something secure. Our justification happens at the moment of belief in the Lord Jesus. Our sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven before God is judge, and that stands forever settled in heaven and earth. But there is a fact of our relationship with God as parent, as our Father, that our sins come into play in that way. You'll remember the Lord's Prayer, forgive us as we have forgiven those who've sinned against us. There is a sense that we have to be careful that we forgive others, that we settle with others, that we deal with others, so that the Father, as our Father, would forgive us, and we might have the joy of that fellowship and relationship with Him. But if we don't do it, the danger is that the Father will get involved and He will chastise us along the way. And we do not want to risk that. He may do what He thinks is best because of our unwillingness or our lack of effort to be reconciled with others. He may deal with us in a more drastic way. Jesus says, yes, there are, or Jesus teaches, or the Scripture teaches, that there are limits to giving in. There are unjust grievances. He doesn't raise that possibility here, but in other texts there, He raises that possibility. But He prioritizes your relationships with one another, that they would be right. Remember what happened in the church in Corinth at the Lord's table? At the Lord's table, some died and some became sick because they were not reconciled to one another properly. And in 2 weeks, we have the wonderful privilege of celebrating the Lord's table. And as we come to the table, it is important that you be reconciled with one another, that you be in a right setting and right relationship with one another. And the question comes to you this morning, is there anyone that you need to get right with here? As you come to the Lord's table, so that you might come in a fitting way, not only in fellowship with God, but with one another. In the church that I grew up in, that denomination has a tradition where before the celebration of the Lord's table, in the consistory, which is the elders and deacons there, they go around and they make sure that they're right with one another. Because sometimes in consistory you'll discuss issues and there might be differing points of view and there might be some emotion involved in the argument, and it is important that as the community of the Lord comes to the Lord's table, that you come fitting in a proper way. The time for reconciliation is now. And Jesus, in this second illustration, presses home the urgency to settle matters quickly while you're on the way to court. The time for reconciliation is now, not excuses along the way. Because malicious anger is so evil, and God's judgment on us as His children in chastising us is so certain, that we must do that which is in our power to do, that immediate action must be taken, that we must be reconciled to one another. Breakdowns in fellowship lead to a spiritual assassination by you or other people in words, in contempt, in bitterness, in actions. And the Lord says, go do it. Take care of it. Go to your brother. Go to your brother humbly. Go to your brother listening. Talk to him about the situation so that you may be reconciled as far as it depends on you. Well, it's often good to hear that, but how do you go about doing it? Well, one option is suggested by Jay Adams in one of his books, is this, that you call up the other party and you say, I'd like to meet with you. And you set up a meeting in a neutral place, such as a restaurant. And you don't tell them what it's about. You just say, I have something important to talk to you about. Most times you don't do that because then it'll end up a discussion on the phone. Much better to discuss it face-to-face, if possible, in that situation. And then when you meet with the person, you say to them, I'd like to tell you about something, and I wish that you wait till I'm finished before you comment and respond, and then you start into it. Joe, I've got a problem and I need your help with. Please let me tell you about it. I noticed ever since you became Sunday school superintendent, or ever since you lost that election, I noticed that you have been what seems to be troubled with me, and you have had something towards me. And you go through it and you begin to explain it. And then you conclude, so that's what's troubling me. Perhaps there's nothing to it. Perhaps I've read the situation wrong, but I've seen these possible signs of a rift that have appeared there. And I don't want anything to come between you and me as a brother in Christ. We have lots of work to do here. And I want us to work together. Tell me if I'm wrong. Tell me if I'm wrong here and I'll drop the whole matter. If there's nothing to what I'm saying, that's fine. But if there's something to us, let's get it settled. Let's deal with it between the two of us. When you've sinned, call it sin. Don't make excuses. Don't say, you know, forgive me when I became angry, but you were just such a jerk. You don't say that. That big word, but, you leave out of there, out of the equation. Forgive me for being angry and the words I spoke. End of it. Period there. Tell them that you've asked the Lord to forgive you and then request forgiveness from Him. Would you forgive me for the way I became angry? Please forgive me. And then they promise to forgive you, and you become reconciled. This morning, what if you came to church and you realized that there was a time bomb in the congregation this morning? What would you do? You would get out of your seat. You would go outside quickly. We would call the bomb squad in to deal with the time bomb. Are you sitting on a time bomb this morning? an unresolved situation between you and someone else, especially someone else in the body of Christ that you have not dealt with. Well, don't just sit there. Diffuse the time bomb before it blows up. If your brother has something against you, go and talk to him. If you have something against your brother, Matthew 18, go and talk to him. Ideally, you'll be meeting upon the way, each going to talk to one another, to defuse the time bomb before we have all the shrapnel and all the mess and all the injury there. Realizing that the gospel is a gospel of hope and of peace and reconciliation. That God has reconciled us to Himself and we need to be reconciled with one another. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before You. And the words of Jesus are strong words for our relationships with one another. Sometimes we take it lightly, and Lord, You take it more seriously than we do. Oh Lord, help us to search our hearts. Help us to search our relationships, and help us, oh Lord, to deal with matters and to forgive matters and to be reconciled. And Lord, give us the joy of reconciliation with each other and with You. Help us, oh Lord, as we come to the Lord's table to have such an opportunity and privilege, a wonderful time as we commune with one another and we commune with You. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.